Welcome to our worship service. Every day there are people who are looking for information about things. Maybe they ask their friends for advice. Maybe they watch TV in a talk show and see what advice they can find there. It's awfully easy to get out your phone and Google something and get information from that. Our study of God's Word tonight reminds us how fortunate we are that when it comes to getting information, we have a great place to go, whether it's about our life or about our faith or about our world. We can always go to what God says in the Bible. What a privilege for us to know who we are here and why God has us here and what's coming for us by faith. That information helps us live like believers every day and reminds us of what's coming for us in eternity. What a blessing and a privilege to be able to have the Bible, because God gives us all the information that we need for this life and for the life to come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Let us pray. Lord, your ears are always open to the humble prayers of your people. Teach us to ask for those things that are according to your will and best for our lives of faith. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, and then verses also in chapter 64. In the history of Isaiah's book, you can see how the people turned away from God, and for a long time they wanted nothing to do with the Lord. But God never gave up on them, and now in these chapters we see the people being repentant of their sins. They had a change of heart and mind about what they had done, and now they're wondering if God has really forgiven them and if He'll still remember them. Well, we know what God does. He shows us our sins so that we can repent. And when we do, He forgives us and He even forgets our sin. You, the Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. Why do you cause us to wander from your ways, Lord? Why do you harden our hearts so that we do not fear you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your heritage. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down. Mountains then would quake because of your presence. As fire ignites stubble, and as fire makes water boil, you make your name known to your adversaries. Then nations would quake in your presence. You did amazing things that we did not expect. You came down. Mountains quake because of your presence. From ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has understood, no eye has seen any God except you, who goes into action for the one who waits for him. You meet anyone who joyfully practices righteousness, who remembers you by walking in your ways. But you were angry because we sinned, We remained in our sins for a long time. Can we still be saved? All of us have become something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a filthy cloth. All of us have withered like a leaf, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is no one who calls on your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. So you hid your face from us. You made us melt by the power of our guilt. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Our psalm reading for this evening is Psalm 24. This psalm reminds us who God is and who we are as sinners and how he shows us his mercy. We'll join in reading it responsively. The earth is the Lord's and everything that fills it, because he founded it on the seas. Who may go up to the mountain of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not swear deceitfully, and righteousness from the God who saves him. Lift yourself up, you ancient doors. Who is this King of glory? The Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up, you ancient doors. Who is he, this King of glory? The gospel lesson for this evening is from Matthew 13. Jesus urged his disciples to be alert because no one knows when Jesus will return. We wait and watch, and as we do, we use the abilities God gives us to serve him. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch, be alert, and pray, because you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going away on a journey. When he left his home, he put his servants in charge and assigned what each was to do. He also commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or early in the morning. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, keep watch. God's word for our study and encouragement are verses from 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 9. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Dear fellow believers, there are a lot of people these days who are studying their family history, their ancestry. I see commercials regularly on the television for Ancestry.com, where you can go on there and find a layout for your family and find out all kinds of information and figure out details about the family that maybe you didn't know before. A couple times a year, I actually get phone calls from people who are looking for information. Maybe they're looking for a baptism date or a confirmation date. Maybe they want to know where their loved one is buried out at the cemetery, things like that. Well, I'm happy to give them that kind of information, but sometimes it seems when people are looking for those things that they're just interested in the information. If I were them, I would be thinking about it a little bit differently. Well, there's a date for a baptism, let's say. Yep, that's good to know. But the baptism, that's the important thing to know about. This person was baptized. Same thing with confirmation. There's a date for that. Those that get confirmed, they get a special Bible verse to go along with it. And that's nice too. But it isn't about the date or about what happened on that day. But what does confirmation mean? You know, you're confessing your faith and promising your faithfulness to God for a lifetime. Same thing with being buried out at the cemetery. That's the sign of a mature Christian. Not just knowing where they're at, but the fact that they had their faith and were welcomed home to heaven. All kinds of information that's out there, and people look in a lot of different places to get answers to those things, whatever they're looking for. But the kind of information that's most valuable to you and me is the kind that God gives us by faith. As we study tonight, we'll be reminded that the Bible gives us all the things that we need to know, all the information. It tells us, first of all, who we are, and then it tells us why we're here, and it also tells us where we're going someday when we get to our home in heaven. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the people in Corinth, he understood the pressure that they were under to live as believers. A lot of the people that Paul worked with were adults, and they had grown up living in sin, sinful lives without faith, and now they had their faith, but now there's this big struggle to live as a Christian or to go back to what they knew before. And Corinth was such an awful place to live. It was known as one of the most immoral cities in the Mediterranean area. So as Paul is thinking about the people in Corinth, and he knows what they're up against, he wants to encourage them. Well, how does he encourage people to live as Christians? He reminds them who they are. And that's again when he says this, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy." When you're part of a church, you're a Christian, you're called out of the darkness of sin and you're living in the light of faith. So Paul is reminding the Corinthians, you're part of this group of believers. Paul told them that they were justified. All of their sins had been forgiven. He told them that they were sanctified. They had been made holy by the Holy Spirit and now were enabled to live like believers. Paul wanted them to remember, look at what God has done for you. This is no small thing to bring you to faith and to give you your faith and all the blessings that go with it. And it isn't just the spiritual thing over here and then earthly life over here. Your spiritual life helps you live your earthly life. Look at what God has done for you. That's your motivation to live like a believer. Notice how Paul talks to them too when he addresses them. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." They had God's undeserved love. They had the peace that could only come from knowing who they were as believers and what God had done for them. Well, we could use these words today in Paul's letter and apply them to ourselves. We could say to the Church of God in Tawas City, Michigan, and then go on like Paul had talked. Because we're the same as those people were then. We're part of God's church. We've been called out of the darkness of sin by God, brought to faith, and now are gathered with our fellow believers here in this particular place like they were in Corinth. God tells us that we have been justified. All of our sins have been taken away. None are left. We're declared not guilty because of what Jesus has done. We are sanctified. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He creates faith in us, makes us holy because of that faith and forgiveness. And then he helps us to live like believers every day. We're no different than the Corinthians. And it's good for us to remember the motivation that you and I have to live as Christians as well. The Bible tells us everything we need to know. It's telling us who we are and why we're here. The father was dropping off his son at college, and they got everything unloaded into the dorm room, and it was ready for time for dad to leave. And he wanted to say something to his son before he left. And he wanted, to give him some kind of wisdom. And so what he said to his son is, "Remember who you are." And he didn't mean, "Yet you're my son and you belong to my family." He was really talking about his faith. Remember who you are. You're a child of God. Living away from mom and dad at college, things change. Living away means big changes for mom and dad too. Best advice for a Christian father to give his son or daughter: remember who you are. That tells us something about how we live. Well, that's good for us to remember too as we go through our life here. Satan would like us to forget that we're believers. He would like us to forget all about living as a Christian. He'd really like to separate our earthly life from our faith and tell us that we can live as we want here and it doesn't matter. God wants us to remember who we are. God has brought us to faith when we don't deserve it. That's grace. God has forgiven our sins when he should send us to hell. We've got the privilege of living like believers every day, and it's difficult, but it's a great privilege to be a child of God and to live in a way that's going to be pleasing to him. We need that reminder all the time, and the Bible certainly does a good job of that. It tells us who we are, and it also tells us why God has left us here in this world. When you read through Paul's letter here in 1 Corinthians, you can tell that he's thankful. And he isn't thankful to the Corinthian people, but he's thankful to God. Because Paul had preached there, and now there's a group of people there that share that faith, and they're excited about it. And Paul can see that. He's thankful to God, and here's what he says about them. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Paul and the other apostles, they had witnessed to these people. And Paul is saying, well, you believe it now, so our testimony is confirmed in you because now you believe it. And as Christians, they had these blessings. They were blessed in their knowledge. Before they had faith, they didn't know anything about the Bible. They didn't know anything about Jesus. They didn't know anything about the way of salvation. But now they knew it and they believed it. They were blessed in their speaking. I'm sure Paul was telling them, don't keep this message of the gospel to yourself. Share it with others. They need to know the same thing. And again, in this heathen city of Corinth, they certainly needed to know the truth of God's word. Something else Paul was thankful for is telling the people why God had left them there. I've talked before about having it really be a nice thing if God would bring us to faith and then just take us directly home to heaven and spare us living here in a sinful world. But he doesn't do that. He brings us to faith and gives us all the blessings, but then he leaves us here for a reason. And he told the Corinthians, Paul said, God's given you spiritual gifts that you can use while you're waiting for the Lord to come back. Gifts that they could use to demonstrate their faith and their love for God and encourage others to do the same. God has given you and I the same things to be thankful for. We have our faith. We believe in the one true God. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us. We have this knowledge of the Bible that can only be brought into our lives by our faith. We know that we not only have knowledge, but we also have opportunities to serve the Lord here. God wants us to witness our faith to others as well, and he'll bless the speaking that we do. God also gives you and I abilities that we can use to serve him, and he wants us to be busy doing those things until he returns on the last day. Look at all the things that we have to be thankful for, just like the Corinthian people. We're brought to faith, forgiven of our sins, we have a home in heaven waiting for us, and while we're waiting, we have the privilege of serving the Lord in many different ways so that other people can share that good news with others. The Bible tells us what we need to know and why we're here and what the Lord expects of us. Do you remember the parable of the man that was the rich man, the parable of the rich fool? This man was a farmer, and one year he had just a bountiful harvest. And he had so much grain to store away that he actually tore down his old barns and he built new ones, bigger ones. And he got them all filled up, and I picture him standing back and looking at these huge barns full of grain because it was food for him, but then he could sell it too, worth a lot of money. And he stood back and he said this. He said, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. I picture him with a big smile on his face looking at all of his stuff. There's just one problem. The same night that he got his barns loaded up with his grain, the Lord decided to end his life. And then others would get the things that he had stored away for himself. That parable that Jesus told was to remind people about the purpose of their life and the goal of their life. Having earthly things is a blessing from God. But for a man like this in the parable, that's all his life was about. He had prepared in an earthly way, but not in a spiritual way. Well, this again is a good reminder for us. God wants us to enjoy our earthly blessings here. That's why he gives them to us. Anything that we receive from him is a gift from him and to be enjoyed. But that's not all there is in our life here. You and I have something more important to look forward to. Something that we work towards when we have our faith. We're trying to remain strong and serve the Lord as we do. Something that's more important than anything that we could have here, and that's what God is giving us by our faith and our salvation. How thankful we can be that God tells us everything we need to know. We know who we are, and we know why we're here, to come to faith and serve the Lord. And the last thing Paul told the Corinthians is where they are going. Here's what he told them. You eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. The Corinthians were waiting for the same thing that we're waiting for today. We're waiting for Jesus to return. And all the signs in the Bible that God talks about for the end of the world, we've talked about those in the last few weeks. And it looks like they're all here. All the signs that Jesus talks about for knowing that the end is coming. Well, the Corinthians knew that this world was going to come to an end, and yet it didn't for them. We know the same thing, that it's going to come to an end, and maybe it'll come in our lifetime, or maybe we'll go home to heaven individually. But what God wanted the Corinthians to know through the Apostle Paul is that this was happening. This is the goal of your life. He was telling the Corinthians that they're going home to heaven, and that earthly life comes to an end. Well, God would remind us of the same thing. Sometimes we get so involved in our earthly life that we forget about heaven. Sometimes we hear the details about heaven and we try to wrap our minds around what Jesus is going to do on the last day, or what heaven is going to be like, or how our bodies are going to change, or all these things. And it's almost like we're apprehensive sometimes to think about those things and those details. God tells us about this ahead of time so that we realize how important it is, and really to take away our fears, because he's telling us exactly what's going to go on and what we can expect, because it's all part of his plan. It's about all the information that he's giving us, telling us what the goal of our faith really is. And what a blessing it is to know that, to know where we're going. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't have any idea where they're going when they die here. They don't know anything about Jesus' return or about Judgment Day or faith. But we have the confidence of understanding who we are as believers, what we're doing here, and what it is exactly that we're waiting for. We think that God blesses us in this life, but he's got greater blessings than that when he takes us home to heaven. And that's what we spend our time waiting for, serving the Lord, using our gifts, growing in our faith, and remaining strong. God helps us with all of that, so that someday we can enjoy that home in heaven with him. We're thankful that God gives us all that information that we need. When people have problems of some kind, they're looking for help, and maybe they do what I talked about earlier, watch a talk show, or maybe they listen to what other people are saying. Maybe they call a friend or something and ask them for advice. Well, if you do that, if you're looking for worldly wisdom, you're not going to get the right answers. If someone feels bad about their sins, for example, what's the world going to say? Well, sin is not that bad. Everybody sins, so don't worry about it. Maybe somebody's having trouble in their marriage, and what does the world say? Oh, marriage is just a piece of paper. If you're not happy, just get a divorce. No big deal. If they have questions about things like faith or Judgment Day, what does the world say? Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. Just believe in something. We all pray to the same God, right? And Judgment Day? God's really not going to send people to hell for all eternity, is he? We're looking for answers to questions, too, at times. There's difficulties that come up in our lives, and we're really looking for guidance and direction. Sometimes we look in all the wrong places, too. Sometimes we rely on our own wisdom to get us out of a bad situation. Or maybe we rely on a friend, or maybe we look to the world. Maybe we try and do what's popular. But that never gives us the right guidance that we need. Again, how wonderful it is to know that God has told us everything we need to know. And he does that in the Bible. What a privilege you and I have to be able to study that, not just today, but every day. What a privilege to have that Word of God that not only brings us to faith and guides our life, but then gives us the comfort and confidence of where we're going with our home in heaven. A lot of people are searching for information, mostly earthly, mostly just for earthly purposes. Thank the Lord that he gives us all the spiritual information that we need, and it has changed our lives forever, giving us someday our permanent home in heaven with him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, Keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith. Tonight we'll use the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Dear Savior Jesus, as we begin the Advent season, we long for your appearing. Come to cheer us with your promises as you once cheered the ancient people throughout their long night of waiting and watching for the Messiah to come. Restore our hope. Rouse us from the despair of slumber and lift our hearts from petty earthbound goals. Direct our eyes above, where you will soon make all things right again. Come and work in our hearts a godly grief and a genuine sorrow for our many sins. Forgive us for the shameful way that we dishonor you, the shabby way that we've dealt with one another. Through the power of your word, stir up in us a desire to give ourselves to others as you have given yourself in service for us. Dear Jesus, come also to rekindle our joy as we prepare for Christmas. Do not permit the busyness of this season to rob us of your peace or to deprive us of times to wonder and ponder at your word. Set our hearts apart from the busyness of these days and fill us with the quiet delight of finding you in the manger. Keep our hearts and minds undisturbed by so many people that are unaware of you or are unconcerned about the Christmas message. We also pray for those enduring great sorrow, for those undergoing spiritual trial, and for those who have no knowledge of your coming. Comfort, strengthen, and be with them with the sweet peace born of your love, and keep them in the way of the peace by your word. Come quickly, dear Lord, and fill our longing eyes with the light of your coming. We wait for you, we keep watch for you, and in you we put our hope. We pray this in Jesus' name, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, thank you for teaching us the things that you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.